Adnan Mustafik with the University of Georgia, who works with Charlie Lee.
Hi, my name is Adnan Mustafik, and I'm currently a postdoctoral research associate at the University of Georgia, and today I'll be talking about fluorescent imaging and how we can use it for cotton trash detection. In the beginning, I am going to introduce the problem, what we are trying to do, what we are trying to solve, and the objectives of this study. First of all, I'll introduce our fluorescent imaging system. I'll explain its components and how certain components were chosen. Then I will talk about cotton trash aging study and the depth study. Cotton quality assessment is a very important method to determine the value of length and the grades that are provided by either the human classers or certain types of instruments can affect the monetary value of cotton lint. So one of the most popular ways to actually determine the amount of trash in cotton is to actually use an imaging system like the HVI. HVI essentially takes a surface image of certain cotton samples and tries to compute the area of that sample that is covered with trash. However, it does not differentiate between different types of trash. And for this study, the objectives were to develop a fluorescent imaging system, observe the effects of aging botanical trash, and can we use depth imaging for trash identification? This is a schematic of the fluorescent imaging system. It contains a color camera, a long pass filter in front of the camera, and different types of excitation sources. In this instance, we use two different types of excitation sources, namely the blue LEDs and the UV LED. Each one of them were equipped with a series of either bandpass or shortpass filters. So once the sample is placed beneath the camera, the excitation source provides a certain light which induces fluorescence in samples, and color camera is used to capture the emitted fluorescence. And the entire system was enclosed in a black enclosure. Now, when I mentioned we use blue LEDs and UV LEDs, the reason for that actually came from a study of different types of trash that we looked at. And when it comes to fluorescence, the excitation wavelength range determines what emission spectral range you actually get. In this instance, you can see a fluorescence 3D matrix scan of bark. And primarily, you'll notice that the emission, the tallest emission peak is around 672 nanometers, which is in the red range. This is primarily a function of certain fluorophores that are found in bark. And this matrix scan shows the excitation area ranging from 3 to 500 nanometers and the emission ranging from about 320 to 700 nanometers. So based on this, certain types of trash, whether they are botanical or non-botanical types of trash, can be photoexcited either in the UV spectra or in the visible light spectra. In this instance, the types of trash that are used for the aging studies are bark, bracken, and hull. And all three of these types of trash can be excited in the blue light range, around 450 nanometers. So for the cotton trash aging study, we try to observe the effects of aging on certain types of botanical trash and how the color signatures actually change over time. So in this study, four different cultivars were used that were recently harvested. We are looking at bark, bracken, and hull, and the samples were imaged over a period of 10 weeks. Each type of trash had 28 samples in total, and here on the right you'll see are some of the fluorescent images of bark, bracken, and hull. Bark and hull are fairly bright. On bracken, you can actually see there are some shades of red, which is typically due to the influence of chlorophyll. And what we try to quantify is that to extract the red and green channel from each one of the images that we looked at. So here are the imaging processing steps. The raw images are, or the JPEG images were essentially converted to TIFF images. The red and the green channel were extracted, and the red channel was used to create the binarized mask. Now, when that mask is multiplied by either the red or green channel, we can extract the region of interest under observation, and the last image is the region of interest that's false colored. Based on this, if we look at the results with the red and green channel of BARC, here in this case, the layers denote mean separation. If the layers are exactly the same, that means there's no statistically significant change in mean of that sample. And here you'll see that for the red and green channel, there are some differences. For the red channel, for BARC, there are not that many changes during the first 7 weeks, but starting to week 8 to all the way to week 10, there is significant change in the red channel. However, the green channel did not have as many changes. It stayed consistent for the most part. However, for the BARC, for the red and green channel, the significant changes actually started in week 8 for both of them, and they follow the same pattern. And for how the red and green channel intensity did not change this significantly for the most part. There were slight changes, but over a period of 10 weeks, those channels pretty much stayed constant. In conclusion for this weatherization study is that there are significant changes in the red and green channels, primarily for two types of trash, BARC and BRACT. And this could primarily be due to the influence of certain fluorophores. Now, the main component of botanical types of trash, whether it's, let's say, some sort of leaf structure or even bark, is that it has a certain concentration of chlorophyll. However, as the chlorophyll decays, actually other fluorophores that are hidden beneath the chlorophyll layer become more pronounced. And those fluorophores actually are responsible for fluorescence emission. Now, in HAL, there were no significant changes in the red and green channel, and the main conclusion of this study is that the time elapsed from ginning and to when cotton trash is imaged can have significant impact on certain types of cotton trash with respect to their color attributes. For the second part, I'll go a little bit about into detail about the depth study. What we try to do is see if reflectance imaging and transmission imaging can be used to detect different types of trash buried at different depth levels of cotton lint. And three types of trash were used: paper, stem, and plastic bale packaging. Each three of these types of trash actually tend to produce bad signal under different excitation light. For example, paper is easily visible under UV light, and the botanical trash typically works best under blue LED light. So cotton trash was placed under the cotton lint and imaged at sample thicknesses of 8, 15, and 24 millimeters. That's for reflectance imaging. When it comes to transmission imaging, what happened is that the excitation lights were inverted, so instead of light shining on top of the sample, the light was shined underneath the sample. And it was found that the cotton trash was not visible in reflectance images if placed underneath lint samples of 18, 15, 24 millimeter thickness. And cotton trash was not visible in transmission images if it was placed between two layers of 4 millimeter thicknesses and blue light excitation was used, and results indicate that only surface imaging is feasible. I would like to acknowledge the Cotton Incorporated Jura Cotton Commission for funding of this project, and Michael Tills and Andy Knowlton, who are both from Tifton, for providing us with cotton lint and cotton trash samples. Thank you for your attention.
Again, we have time for a couple questions. If anyone has any.
When you say that you tested once a week for, say, 10 weeks,
mm-hmm.
did you every week went back to the bale and put the sample out?
No.
You don't know what happened in the first cotton in the bale. just in the free sample?
No, what I received were actually the entire cotton plants, and I removed different types of cotton trash from the cotton plants themselves. And all those samples, once they were removed for plants, were kept in the storage, and they were not. I used the same samples throughout the entire study.
So we don't know what happened in the fresh cotton inside the bale. The changes.
No.
In the sample.
No, because what I try to do is I want to get fresh samples, because as soon as cotton trash is actually removed from the plant, as soon as the plant dies, actually there happens a significant changes for the fluorophores. So what I want to do is actually use fresh samples that had high concentrations of chlorophyll. So I can observe over a period of 2.5 months, which is essentially a time frame that sometimes it might take to actually do imaging following ginning.
So this cotton wasn't defoliated, it was just, you just picked the bowl off of the plant.
Correct from the plant, because sometimes when you get cotton trash sample, that's already mixed with lint, sometimes it's already old and too decayed, and fluorophores can decay very quickly, so that's why I want to use fresh samples.
Anything else? Thank you very much.